Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 17. Now keep in mind that this epistle is written to the church of Ephesus, a group of believers that were no doubt rich in Christ, but yet living like as if they were beggars, living as if they were still perhaps in the old paths, or in a sense of their own life. They were living in a way where perhaps they were influenced by other Gentiles, influenced by the way they used to live. And now he's instructing them how to have this renewed walk. And we can go through the whole book, but we won't for the sake of time. But we'll look at chapters 4 and 5 just briefly this morning. And we'll look at, and we'll start from verse 17. He says, "This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness and greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have learned him, heard him, and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. Ye put off concerning former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the things which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." Chapter 5. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. Walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints, neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger or unclean person nor covetous man who is an idolater have any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. No man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as the children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Notice verse 14. Wherefore he saith, "Awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." Father in heaven, Lord, we ask and pray this morning that you'd help us with these so many admonitions and instructions and warnings. Father, help us this morning, and edge your word in our hearts afresh, that we may be renewed in our minds, Lord God, stirred up once again to walk in your ways, to walk in Christ, this renewed life, this new life that we have in him. In Jesus' name, amen. In Ephesians chapter 4, 17, Paul begins to exhort the church on how Christians should not walk. He says, "This I say therefore and testify in the Lord that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind." This means simply don't live an empty life that is without purpose. Don't live wasteful lives that have no eternal value. See, the Gentiles had no spiritual wisdom at all. They had no knowledge of the holy. A man of God once said regarding the Gentiles, he said the Gentiles had great activity but no progress. They chased bubbles and shadows and neglected the great realities of life, the unseen things. They rather lived for the temporal things. In Ephesians chapter 5, we see that in the passage, it could be broken up to three sections. In verse 2, we see he encourages us to walk in love. In verse 8, he encourages us to walk in light. And in verse 15, he encourages us to walk in wisdom. So let's begin by looking at the first in verse 2, but we can start from verse 1. To walk in love. This is the admonition for us as Christians. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. Notice the word therefore. Paul continues from verses 32 in chapter 4. Remember when he said, be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. So he says, be ye followers of God, be ye imitators of God, be tenderhearted, have a forgiving spirit. Remember in Matthew chapter 5, the Sermon on the Mount, he says, be ye perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. He's talking in the manner of this matured love, this love that even forgives our enemies, let alone the ones that we love and know. And 1 Peter says, be ye holy as he is holy, talking about his character, his righteousness. And also in Ephesians 5, 2, he says, be ye like Christ, be Christ-like. Be imitators of God. You know, Christ is expressed image of God, God manifested in the flesh. Now, Paul begins to continue to mention several things or evils that are improper for the children of God to live in or to walk in. They're sins that are unbecoming of the child of God. Child of God ought not to live in this way. It's improper. It is not proper for the sanctified children of God to simply live the way they used to live. And now he addresses several things, and he makes mention, notice verse 3, but fornication and all uncleanness and covetousness, let it not be once named among you as become a saint. So I don't want to even hear that you're even partaking in these things. And notice the word has become a saint. That word is to be made holy. And we've been made holy by the blood of Christ. That's our position in him. We're new creatures in Christ. And he says, therefore walk as followers of God, as dear children, in his love and his holiness. You can't separate the two. You know, the love of God and the holiness of God go hand in hand. You cannot separate the two. They go together. And he says, don't walk in fornication. Fornication is simply immoral sexual acts that is outside a marriage covenant. And he says, don't walk like this. Unlawful sexual acts. This is also, it covers harlotry, it covers pornography, it covers sodomite or homosexuality. This is as he goes on to say, and all uncleanness, the next one. This is another broad word for dirty behavior, especially in a sexual sense. He goes on to say, and covetousness. This is not only referring to money or possession, but also referring to sexual desires. Remember the Ten Commandments. He says, don't covet thy neighbor's wife. And so in referring, he is talking about this unbridled lust, referring to anything that is forbidden for the Christian. Don't covet after it. And in Ephesians 5, 4, it continues to say, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, filthiness. There's things that are shameful, things that can be offensive, things that are rude and crude, things that are practiced for the lust of the flesh. He says, we ought not to walk like this. Foolish talking. Things that are that might be said without thinking. You know, you don't even think about what you say. You just you know, carnal speech, idle talk, things that are said without any wisdom or discretion. And he says also here, nor jesting, which are not convenient. This is silly jokes, silly talk. For example, joking about sin. This only helps make sin in our life light. You know, when we downplay sin or we try to justify sin by joking about it. This is when a person doesn't really take sin seriously. And in Ephesians 5:4, he just gives a little statement that what we should do. Yeah, don't do all these things, but look, rather giving of thanks. Now, there are three signs of having an ungrateful spirit. Number one, it's complaining. This is where we constant murmur. Never satisfied. And that leads to number two, a coveting spirit, where we have a dissatisfied attitude. We're always looking around. And also a comparing spirit. It leads to a comparing spirit to have a competitive outlook. So three things that perhaps show signs of unthankfulness: complaining, coveting, and comparing, which leads also to a competitive spirit. But one good sign of having an attitude or thankful spirit is found in 1 Timothy 6:6. But godliness with contentment is what? Great gain. Wow. So not just contentment, but godliness with contentment is great gain. So being content with our salvation, being content with the Lord of our salvation. And listen, this is the big thing, and this is the whole context of Ephesians 4, of being built up together in the image of Jesus Christ. Being content with how God is making us. You know, this is the narrow gate that we've entered into. You know, there's hard work. There's a lot of persecution. There's a lot of restriction. There's a lot of things that God wants to clean out of our lives. And we ought to be thankful for that. We ought to be, you know, saying, thank God that this is taking place in our lives. And we ought to say, Lord, thank you for what you are doing. And many a times it's hurt and it's hard. And remember what Moses said, I'd rather suffer affliction with the people of God. So we understand this narrow way and this confining and refining, it hurts. And so to the flesh, not giving into the flesh, and submitting to the Spirit of God, God says, be content with that. And notice what Paul puts them into remembrance in verse 5. Notice, he says, for this ye know. You know what he by this statement, he's saying, you've been taught. You've been taught about this before. So why does it mention it again? Because I believe we need to have a renewed mind every now and then in order for us to continue to have a renewed walk. So easily slip back into our old ways, our old thinking. And he's just wanting to encourage us to be revived and renewed in our minds and therefore live in our lives. Amen? This you know, you've been taught that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater have any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. You know what he's saying here? These kind of people who live like this, they're not born again, they're not regenerated, and there is no way in the world that they're going to enter into heaven. That's in reality, that's what he says. He says, you know this, you've been taught this, you've been saved out of this world, you've been saved from this lifestyle. In Christ, you've become a new creature. So you know that there is no way in the world God's going to receive a vile person into the kingdom of heaven. Remember, if you back it up to Ephesians 4 and verse 19, have a look. He says, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness and greediness. But notice what he says in verse 20, but ye have not so learned Christ. If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, and we understand that the beginning of our knowledge is the gospel of Christ. And there the Holy Spirit begins to teach us the wisdom of Christ through the Word of God, and we understand that we cannot or should not walk in this old ways. We have a new renewed way. Paul is saying, you know the life that you ought to live like now that you are saints of God. A renewed life. Now notice what he says in verse 6. And this is an interesting statement, let no man deceive you with vain words. Now this is interesting. And he continues to say, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Now we understand that God is a loving God, but yet he's a just God, and he's going to deal with sin. And he's going to deal with sinners. But we understand that no... just so for the sake of, you know, we get and understand this, we understand that Christians are not in any way sinless, okay? As a matter of fact, this is why he's writing to them, because he knows that Christians can fall back, can think this way, and can be tempted to live and influence in this way, right? They can. So this is what the whole purpose that he's saying, put off, put on. Don't live the way you used to. Now live the way that Christ wants you to live, and that is to be renewed in the spirit of night in your mind. But the difference is this: we have now the Spirit of God to say no to our old life. That God has given us the power now to walk in the new life. Before, we had no choice in the matter. We were slaves and servants to sin. But now we do have a choice. We can say no. And so we're sinners saved by grace through faith. And we're sinners that grow in grace through faith, okay? The way we're saved is the way we grow. It's by grace through faith. Now, let me say this. It's absolutely risky for Christians to offer any kind of assurance to professing Christians that continue to live a filthy lifestyle. You know, I honestly get grieved and saddened by the fact of people saying, oh, this person, they've trusted Christ as their Savior, but they're living, like I'm talking about, not slipping or falling, living evident life of fornication, evident life of lust and greed and covetousness. As a matter of fact, Paul says to the Corinthians, if someone that is called a brother and is living like this, don't even fellowship with them. And yet sometimes we do. And this is the whole point of this context, saying don't be partakers of them, because he knows the influence that they can have on us. This is why he says don't be deceived by their vain words. Like as if the grace of God gave us license to sin. Can I just say the grace of God is not license to sin? The grace of God is not in any way, shape or form give us any permission to continue in sin. Yes, the grace of God is greater than our sin. But as Titus mentions, the grace of God teaches us to deny all ungodliness and worldly lusts, and that we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. The grace of God teaches us other than what these people in our day want to teach about the grace of God, which is cheap. And in Jude chapter 1, verse 4, he says, For there are certain men crept in, unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, look at ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the Lord and our Lord Jesus Christ. Now listen, if they had the problem back then, how much more now? You know, now let me just say, can a sodomite get saved? Yeah, absolutely. Now, I had one guy when we first started the church and we'd done a big blitz. I had one homosexual, a sodomite, give me a call and say, do you accept homosexuals into your church? I said, absolutely. We accept liars and thieves, and we accept all kinds of sinners as long as they repent and trust Jesus Christ as their Savior. Now, once he gets saved, does he continue to be a sodomite? Or do you expect for him to say, you know what, this is evil, this is lustful, this is bad thinking, this is of the flesh, and now I need to start walking in the ways of the Lord. Yeah. It's simple, but when we look at it in contrast to something that is severe and needs an obvious change, God narrows it down to a life of covetousness, which is idolatry. You know, wanting more and more to feed the lust of the flesh and the eyes, and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. You know, he takes it even to that point that we are no more people that are running after the pleasures of this life, but we are people that are should pursue the riches that are in Christ. Though the grace of God is greater than our sin, it doesn't advocate in any way that we are people that should continue in sin. Notice, please note this down. The grace of God causes us to come as we are, but the grace of God does not advocate to stay as we are. And that's the difference. There needs to be a new renewed walk when we come to Christ. When we come to Christ, he says, put off, put on. Notice, he says, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. You know what he says? That the wrath of God will come upon those that belong to the family name, the rebels. He says in verse 7, Be not ye therefore partakers with them. In other words, you are told that we ought not to live like rebels. This is part of the living in the vanity of our minds, because our minds are enmity toward God. It does the things that God doesn't want us to do. A man of God once said, believers are solemnly warned to have no part in such ungodly behavior. To do so is to dishonor the name of Christ, to wreck other lives, and to ruin one's own testimony. We are not to condone sinful lifestyles in our lives or the lives of others. Why? Because we are the light of the world. Notice now he says, but walk in light. Notice verse 8, for ye were sometimes darkness. This is how you used to live. This is how you used to walk. But now, he says, you are the light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. So we see now we ought to walk in love, but now we ought to walk in light. He says, this is how you used to live. But now that you're saved and you're in Christ, this is how you should live, a renewed walk. And notice there are other passages of scriptures. We have time to go through them. Go to Colossians chapter 3 and verse 7. Colossians chapter 3, verse 7. Have a look at verse 7 through to 8. Once again, he talks about to mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth. Verse 6, he uses the same language, which things sake the wrath of God cometh upon the children of disobedience. Notice what he says in verse 7, in which ye also walked sometime when you what? Lived in them, when you walked in them. But notice this, two words in verse 8, what does it say? But now. But now, ye put off all these anger, wrath, malice, blasphemies, and filthy communication out of your mouths. Go to 1 Corinthians 6. 1 Corinthians 6. 1 Corinthians 6, and notice verse 9. He says, know ye not that the unrighteous shall inherit the kingdom of God? And he talks about all these different things mentioned in verses 9 and 10. And then verse 11, he says, and such was some of you. But what? But ye are washed, ye are sanctified, ye are justified in the name of the Lord and by the Spirit of our God. See that? Now go to 1 Corinthians 12. 1 Corinthians 12, have a look at verse 1. He says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Ye know that ye were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led. So this is, he mentions that this is how we used to live. But then he talks about now God has set you in the church. This is how you should live now in the church of God. And he begins to give instructions regarding that. this is how you used to live, but this is how you should live in the church of God. Now, go to Titus 3. Titus 3. Have a look at verse 3. For we ourselves also were sometimes, this is Paul speaking, he's speaking to Titus, foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But notice, after that the kindness and the love of God, our Savior, toward men appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but by His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration. And notice this, by what? The renewing of the Holy Ghost. This is how we used to live. But because of the grace of God and the salvation of God in our lives, this is how we ought to live. Renewed by the Spirit of God. New walk, new life. Notice Romans 6. Romans 6. Romans 6, verse 17. It says, but God be thanked that ye were, notice that, the servants of sin. But ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which delivered you. Praise God. But now he says in verse, the next verse, being, go to verse 18, being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of what? Righteousness. Go to verse 20. For when you were the servants of sin, you were free from the righteousness. Verse 22. What are those two words? But now, being made free from sin and became servants to God, you have your fruit unto what? Holiness and the end, everlasting life. Holiness is the fruit of being saved. We're saved and God begins to sanctify us by His Spirit to be holy as He is holy. That's the renewed walk. Have a look in Romans, 1 Peter 2. 1 Peter 2. Now have a look at verse 9. It says, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Notice verse 10. Which in time past were not a people, but what? But now the people of God, which have not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Amen. This is the grace of the mercy of God teaches us to live this holy, peculiar way. You know, the world doesn't understand this way. And we're influenced about those people that treat the grace of God like lasciviousness, like as if we can have, we're saved, we've got a ticket to heaven, we can continue to do what we want and continue to live how we used to live. No, that's not a renewed walk. The more we walk with Christ, the more He makes us into His image, the more foreigners we become. This is the renewed walk. We feel lonely at times. But it's the work of God in our hearts. We feel weird, like as if something is taking place, but it's the work of the Holy Spirit as we walk in there. We don't understand it all, but we trust the Lord that He's good and He's just. And now we see in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 25. Have a look at this. For ye were as sheep gone astray, but are what? But now return unto the shepherd and the bishop of your souls. He's our great shepherd, leading us and guiding us. The Spirit of God also into all truth, that we should walk as He walked. The end is Christ-likeness. You know, this is why He has called us from darkness to His marvelous light, that we should show forth His praises. You know what that means? That we should become the people, this peculiar people, this Christ-like people that would show forth the praises of God. This is what we were created. You know, if we do not continue to be renewed in our minds and have a renewed walk to look like Christ, we cease being what God made us for. God ordained us that we'd walk in his ways and be conformed to the image of Christ. It's like having this piano and we go and we play and we press the keys, but there's no sound. Now, the piano was not made for that. It was made to give a nice sound, played properly. It's like birds. When they magnify God, they sing and fly. But if a bird does not sing and it does not fly, it ceases to become what God made it to become, to glorify his name. We are Christians that are to imitate God and live like God. And if we don't, then we cease to become what God made us to become in Christ. This is the new renewed walk that God wants us to walk in. Now notice Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Have a look at verse 1. Ephesians 2 and verse 1. And he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past, in the lust of our flesh, filling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved, and hath raised us together and made us sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. For by grace, verse 8, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Notice verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. And verse, going back to our main passage, have a look at Ephesians 5, verse 9. This is where it all comes in and makes sense. He says in verse 9, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. This is the fruit of the Spirit that consists of all goodness, moral upright, moral excellence, full of integrity, just, honest, and not living a deceitful, lustful life. Ephesians 5:10, notice he says, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. If we as Christians and as the children of God walk in light, we'll begin to know what pleases God. We'll be a people that will test everything by the standard of God, not the standard of our feelings or not the standard of others, but rather the standard of God, which is given to us through the Spirit of God and by the Word of God. William MacDonald said this regarding verse 10. He said, those who walk in the light not only produce the type of fruit listed in the preceding verse, but also find out what is acceptable to the Lord. They put every thought, word, and action to the test. What does the Lord think about this? How does it appear in his presence? Every area of life comes under the searchlight, conversation, standard of the living, clothes, books, business, pleasures, entertainments, furniture, friendship, vocations, cars, and sports comes under the light of God. Wow, that's a renewed walk. Walking in the light is to walk with God's approval upon all things. Ephesians 5:11. Now notice this. He says, this is an instruction. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. And what he's saying, how do we reprove them? How do we have no fellowship with them? By the life that we live? By the Christ-like living? You know, Jesus was a friend of sinners, but he didn't partake with sinners. You know, you see it many a times. He either gave them the hope of the gospel or he rebuked them. He did not sin with them. He did not make them feel that they were okay. He was a friend to them. He loved them, and he would show them their need. So we reprove them by the life that we live, by our lifestyle, by our stand for Christ, by our God-given convictions, and by the way, don't be ashamed of them, by our testimony, by the gospel we share to them, by our hatred towards sin, and by, here it is, our love for the Savior. By our love for the Savior. You know, sometimes your love and my love for God seems like we hate people, but we don't. You just love God more, and you're not willing to compromise for the sake of others. Loving God more and being conformed to the image of Christ, to the glory of God, is what God wants us to be engaged in. We love people, but not on the expense of walking with them or being like them. God wants us to be like Him, different. And by the life you live and by the message you'll carry, that is enough to reprove them. You don't have to be mean, rude, and crude. We don't have to have a Pharisaical stand-over attitude. This is again, sins of the flesh. This is pride and arrogancy. No, God doesn't want us to reprove people in a very arrogant, harsh way. He wants us to reprove people by being the light that we should be and the salt that we should be. Amen? Now, we ought to never be ashamed of the powerful gospel that is able to change our life in every sense of the word. However, we ought to be ashamed of the way we used to live. Notice verse 12 and 13. He says, for it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. In other passages, Paul mentions that it's a shame to even talk about them, the things that we used to do. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. And whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Now notice the admonition to be revived. We're running out of time. Verse 14, wherefore he saith, awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Now, Matthew Henry said regarding this, some indeed understand this as a call to sinners and to the saints. To sinners to repent and turn, to saints to stir up themselves to their duty. The former must arise from their spiritual death, but the latter must awaken from their spiritual deadness. Did you know it's okay to have physical rest and sleep? Our Lord Jesus slept. It's not sinful, because this body is made in a different way to that of the glorious body of in the spirit, and that of, you know, the body of you know, the flesh, completely different, the spirit and the flesh. So therefore, it gets tired. Therefore, we eat to be strong. But no man lives on bread alone, but by every word of God. However, there is a sleep that God doesn't want us to sleep in, and that's spiritual sleepness. We can sleep physically, and we ought to regain our strength, but God doesn't want us to sleep spiritually. He wants us to be sober-minded. Sleepy Christians who don't care about separation, don't care about holiness. Sleepy Christians who don't care about what pleases the Lord, they do not prove all things. Sleepy Christians do not care about what kind of friends they have. They're not careful about whether they're influenced or not. Sleepy Christians do not call sin for what it is. They're soft on it. Sleepy Christians don't have any sense of discernment. Sleepy Christians look and act like the world, and they don't care. They have this attitude. But he's saying, have a renewed walk. And he goes on to say, now walk in wisdom. Don't be foolish. Notice verse 15. He says, see then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as what? Wise. To be careful, to be diligent, to have a precise walk. He says, don't be foolish, don't be a sleepy Christian. He says, awake and walk in light, walk in wisdom. Don't walk in the foolish, worldly ways of man, who only serve their fleshly appetite and care not for the things of God, but Rather, be wise and have a careful walk. You know what the book of Proverbs says? A prudent man foreseeth evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. I don't care. They just continue to live and they don't test anything. They don't prove anything. Their measuring rod is the standard of it is very shallow. And by the way, it does get tiring. It's not easy. But a prudent man, one that has wisdom, walks carefully. Wise people see sin for what it is and they remove themselves from it, while naive people walk right into it and suffer the consequences of it. Now, to walk circumspectly is to be continually taking heed on how exactly we should conduct our lives. To take inventory, to see what pleases God and what displeases God. He says in verse 16, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Redeeming the time means to buy time, means to recover a loss. In other words, it's to make every single God-given opportunity count. Don't squander time. Don't squander your hours and days. Not to waste time by foolish living and wasteful living. No, to make every opportunity count. Someone put it like this: to make a wise and sacred use of every opportunity for doing good for God's glory. We are to make the most of our time in this evil world by fulfilling God's purposes. Remember, we only have one life to live. Just one life. We can't get a rerun. We have one candle to burn. We can either burn it walking in our old ways as Christians, or we can burn it walking in the renewed way of a Christ-like life. Verse 17, wherefore be ye not unwise, but understand. That's the key. What the will of the Lord is. And we know by Scripture that the will of God is what? He wants people saved. He wants people sanctified. He wants people serving. He wants people sharing the gospel. He wants people spirit-filled. He wants people to be submissive. And yes, people that will suffer for his name. This is the life of a Christian. This is the reality of it. We cannot sugarcoat Christianity. It is what it is. It is the narrow way. But is the way that we can live, listen, by the power of God. That's why he says here in verse 18, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but look, be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. In other words, be controlled by God and his Holy Spirit. Because that's the only way you and I can we walk a renewed life. You know, the bottom line for a renewed walk is to know and to understand God's will each day and do it. That's the key. He says, understand what the will of the Lord is. You could know the will of God, but understanding is knowing it and fulfilling it. And it's fulfilling it by being filled with the Holy Spirit of God. You know, going back to Ephesians 4:23, he says, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. It's the Holy Spirit of God that helps us to be renewed in our minds and our thinking. But listen, he gives us the power to fulfill God's desire in our hearts. It is God. He is the one that gives us the willingness and the doing of it. But we have to be filled with the Spirit. He says, don't. You know how alcohol controls a man and is in rage and in lustful thinking and thoughts and behavior? He says, don't be filled that way, but rather be filled by God. Don't be controlled by rage, but be controlled by God. Don't be controlled by envy, but be controlled by God. You know, we can be controlled by something, and God wants us to be influenced and controlled by him, walking as he walked. Can I just say, in the day that we live in, a lot of Christians, professing Christians, do not want to walk this renewed way. They don't want to do it. But I pray by God's grace, we would not have that mind. That we would say, Lord, we do not want to walk as we walked in the vanity of our minds. Serving self, serving our lustful desires, serving, you know, me, myself, and I. Lord, we want to walk in this renewed way. And this renewed way is walking in the love of God. walking in the light of the word, walking in the Spirit of God and in all wisdom. And that can only be done, listen, by the power of God and none other. We can either be influenced or controlled by God or by another thing. And to this morning, my challenge is this. What are you actually being influenced by? Who's controlling your life? Does God have full throttle? Is he the Lord? Is he the King of your life? Examine yourself. Are you truly walking in the ways of the Lord, in the ways of his, in the ways of Christ's likeness, in the ways of the light of his word, in the ways of his wisdom of his word? Are you being, you know, simply surrendered fully to the will of God? Do you want to pursue it and understand what it is to fulfill it? Who are you being influenced by? Who's controlling your life? Who's the Lord of your life? And if you're here this morning and you don't know that you're saved, by God's grace you can be saved. It's a wonderful thing. God can call us from darkness into his marvelous light through the blood of Jesus Christ. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but by his mercy he saved us. And God is willing and ready to save anyone that will return unto him with a true heart. Amen. Let's go before the Lord in prayer. And the challenge is this. What are you actually being influenced by? Who's controlling your life? Does God have full throttle? Is he the Lord? Is he the King of your life? Examine yourself. Are you truly walking in the ways of the Lord, in the ways of his in the ways of Christ's likeness, in the ways of the light of his word, in the ways of his wisdom of his word? Are you being, you know, simply surrendered fully to the will of God? Do you want to pursue it and understand what it is to fulfill it? Who are you being influenced by? Who's controlling your life? Who's the Lord of your life? And if you're here this morning and you don't know that you're saved, by God's grace you can be saved. It's a wonderful thing. God can call us from darkness into his marvelous light through the blood of Jesus Christ. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but by his mercy he saved us. And God is willing and ready to save anyone that will return unto him with a true heart. Amen. Let's go before the Lord in prayer, and we'll close with a hymn. And actually, we'll just close with a word of prayer and we'll prepare for our next service. We've got 5 minutes. Let's pray. Father, we thank you.